Why don't you turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We will pick up where we left off last week. Mark chapter 4. This is your heart is your life's ultimate authority, part 2. Mark chapter 4. Let's start in verse 4. It says, and it came to pass as he sowed, and it fell. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Sometimes a quick harvest may not be a good long-term harvest. Immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, and it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. The cares of this life right there. In verse 8, others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So I want to stop right here and just say to lift your faith for 30, 60, and 100-fold. I was teaching in the Bible college this morning and admonishing everybody that we've got to lift our faith to really believe God for these things. A spirit of religion wants us to be satisfied with praying and doing things but seeing the same result. A spirit of religion wants you to be satisfied with what you do but not seeing a supernatural harvest as a result of what you do. You know, we have to examine our prayer and our faith and our walk with God and in some certain areas and see, is there really fruit taking place? God has given us a pattern and a way to step into 30, 60, and 100-fold, and He actually expects us to do it. And it's not like He's getting, you know, demanding and mad about it, although in Matthew chapter 17, He did get pretty short with the disciples about their unbelief. He said, because of your unbelief, you couldn't cast this out. And He said, oh, wicked and perverse generation, how long shall I have to tolerate you? You know, God gets a little frustrated when we get numbed by religion and unbelief. And you know what? You never get to the place in your walk with God when you're beyond the attack of religion that's going to try to numb you and get you to get slowed down and stop demanding results as a result of your prayer life. The spirit of religion is always going to attack. It's always going to want to try to put you to sleep and say, well, 30, 60, and 100-fold is only for some certain preachers, and that's just a certain doctrine that really doesn't make sense, and you know, it's not all this that people preach it to be. But here it is in Mark chapter 4. Jesus is giving us a plan for 30, 60, and 100-fold. Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you, you can sow a seed that'll produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. You got to have the seed, but you also have to have your heart prepared for 30, 60, and 100-fold. You have to have room for that. A seed can't produce 30. If you plant a little mustard seed, but your box that you planted in is 3 inches by 3 inches by 3 inches by 3 inches, you can't get 30, 60, and 100-fold there. Okay? So your heart has to be prepared for 30, 60, and 100-fold. Planting a seed and speaking the harvest is a huge part of that, but your heart has to be prepared. You know, what's going to happen is that mustard seed is going to begin to grow, as the Word said, and then it's going to grow 1 inch and an inch and a half to the side and begin to hit the wall of your little box there, your little pot that you've sowed the seed in, and it's going to stop growing. It's going to be limited. And you know, as we see here in the Word, Jesus says that the soil is the heart of man. So God has made you and given you the ability to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. So you have to have a seed, but you also have to have your heart prepared to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. And you also have to reap 30, 60, and 100-fold. And this is where a lot of people miss it, because Jesus said later on in Mark chapter 4 that He puts in the sickle and reaps the harvest. So let me ask you this question. If you sow a $100 seed and you want 100-fold on that, does somebody want to do the math? Is that going to be 1 million or 10 million? 10,000? Okay. 100 $1 times 100 is going to be 10,000. So if you sow $100, I was way off. Well, thank God. As your faith is, so be it unto you. Yeah, you can go from 100-fold and then go to another 100-fold. That's where the increase comes. If you sow $100, I would just look at it this way. I would make it real. If you have a lawn mowing business and you sow a $100 seed and you're believing God for your lawn mowing business to go to bring in a $10,000 harvest 100-fold, and you want your lawn mowing business in a 1 month period to net $10,000, and you're sowing a $100 seed, and you have one lawnmower, one weed eater, a blower, and a little Nissan pickup truck that can barely even handle that, you need to enlarge your territory. You need to put the sickle in and reap the harvest, okay? You've got the seed. You came up and sowed it in first fruits, a $100 seed. You sowed it in first fruits, and you're believing God for a 100-fold return. You need your business to produce $10,000. And you've got it in your heart. We're going to talk about the heart here in a little bit. But let's assume that you've got your heart increased and you're ready. There's a third thing in the realm of the natural that you have to do, and that is putting in the sickle to reap the harvest. That is in the realm of the natural. So like I've been saying for several months now, we have to be careful that we do not over-spiritualize our faith. A spirit of religion wants you to over-spiritualize your faith and make everything that you do only in the realm of the spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. Your harvest and your blessing and your miracles start in the realm of the spirit. But at some point, the rubber has to meet the road, and you have to harvest that into the realm of the natural. Well, Brother David, I don't need that because I'm just blessed and I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is true. But the heavenly places blessing is going to take place in fullness when you're in heaven. Okay? God has a mansion for you in heaven. You don't have to have just living in a shack or be homeless here on earth. God will bless you with a good house. But here in this lifetime, God wants you to be blessed with 30, 60, and 100-fold here in this lifetime. Okay, so he does have spiritual heavenly blessings for you when you get to heaven. It's not going to require much faith at that point, although your faith still will be producing results in that lifetime. But God wants you to reap the harvest here. So at some point, your seed and your faith has to reap it into the realm of the natural. So if you've got a $100 seed in the ground and you've got one lawnmower, one blower, and one weed eater, then you need to make a plan to see how many lawnmowers do I need? How many employees do I need to get to the place where I can net $10,000 a month and have a 100-fold return on this seed that I've sown? And you may need 20 lawnmowers and 10 employees and 20 weed eaters and 20 blowers. So you've got to reap, to put in the sickle and to take action in the realm of the natural. You have got to have a plan in place to say, okay, I can't go from 1 to 20 lawnmowers tomorrow, you know, to pulling out a loan for $50,000 so that you can get to your 100-fold return of $10,000 isn't the way to get there. Let me tell you right now. You can see right there the math doesn't add up. But God will show you step by step how to get there, and you see that harvest begin to take place. So God has a harvest for you in the realm of the natural. You have to have seed. You have to have your heart prepared for 30, 60, and 100-fold, and you have to have action in the realm of the natural to reap that harvest. Hallelujah. In verse 9, Jesus said unto them, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, they were that about him, the 12, asked him of this parable. And he said unto them, "Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." And he said unto them, "Do you not know this parable? How then will you know all parables?" So I just want to reiterate here again that Jesus is saying that this parable is the foundation parable for all of the parables in the Word. And so when you get an understanding of the fact that your heart is your life's ultimate authority, and Jesus here is telling you that through your heart and sowing seed into your heart and putting in the sickle to reap the harvest, you have the authority to reap 30, 60, and 100-fold in this lifetime. Jesus put the authority and the ability in your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He put the authority and the ability in your hands. You know what? If somebody's believing God for cancer and they come for healing in the prayer line, I believe that that person needs to have a shout and a rejoicing in their heart and in their mouth that would be equal to having already been healed of cancer, because God has put the authority in your hands. I'm telling you, when I had an eye, I went to the eye doctor the other day just for my lenses. I had an eye infection several years ago that got so bad that I lost all my vision in my right eye. And this eye doctor saw, he said, "You have a scar on your eye." I'm like, "Yeah, I do." It was really bad. And I was traveling down to Mexico in 07, and I remember being in a hotel, and my right eye was so bad, it was so red and so painful, I almost couldn't even drive. And my big, not this Bible, but I have a bigger study Bible, a Cambridge Bible, that was sitting on a white end table right in front of me. And so I closed my left eye and looked over it like this, and I couldn't see my big black Bible on the white end table there in the hotel room. My eye was so bad. But you know what? I had a shout on my lips and in my heart that was equal to a total miraculous healing of my eye. And I was traveling down to Mexico on a Thursday, I believe, or a Wednesday. And on Thursday morning in another town, I had a meeting with pastors to rally them for a healing crusade. Okay, so if you're an evangelist coming from another nation to rally pastors for a healing crusade, you can't cancel the rally meeting because you're sick. You can't do it. It's a healing meeting. If it was a teaching or a prophetic meeting, you could prophesy another time to meet. You'll be okay. But you can, if you're the healing evangelist, you can't cancel it because you're sick. And you can't. And you know what? I praise God for like the 7-hour drive the next day driving down into Mexico. The entire time, I had a shout. I had something in the realm of the natural that was equivalent to the miracle that I needed. You've got to have a sickle. You put in the sickle to reap the harvest. I want to ask you, what miracle are you believing God for? Is the sickle that you have in your hand equivalent to the miracle that you're believing God for? Is it equivalent? Is it that big? If you need a huge healing, I hope your shout isn't just, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." Because you may never get that. If you need a huge healing in your body, if you need a huge financial deliverance, I hope that your shout is more like, "Hallelujah, thank you, God. I praise you, Lord. I rejoice in your healing. I thank you, Lord." Psalms 119, 160, your word is true from the beginning. Psalms 119, 162, "I rejoice at your word as one who has found great spoil." Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 14, "Your words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." God, I have found your words, and I rejoice at your word. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed of cancer. I thank you, Lord, that that debt is paid. I thank you, Lord, that I don't lose the house in foreclosure. I hope that your sickle that you're reaping the harvest with in the realm of the natural is equivalent to the miracle that you need. And then you'll begin to see something happen. The miracle can't be stopped when you get to that point. It gets stopped because we think we've done enough with the seed, and we think that we've done enough with preparing our hearts, but we have failed in the realm of the natural to put in a big sickle. I'm telling you, if you plant a field full, 100 or 1,000 acres of corn, you can't go out there with one little sickle and reap that thing. That's going to rot on the vine. Those stalks are going to rot before you get there. You better have scores and scores of combines and a team of people ready to help you reap that harvest. It's like if somebody has a lawn mowing business, you better have a plan. You know, because if you sowed a $100 seed, I'm going to tell you right now, and you're believing God for 100-fold, you want $10,000 in your lawn mowing business, it is not going to happen by one of your lawn mowing customers saying, "Well, you cut that good today. Instead of paying you $30, here is $10,000 for the way you cut my yard." That's not going to happen. Because you missed a point there. This is a 3-point thing. You got to sow the seed. You have to prepare your heart, but you got to put in a sickle. You didn't have a sickle for $10,000. You had a lottery pipe dream for $10,000, and it didn't work. It's not going to work. Some people do get lucky and win the lottery, but that's just, and they end up worse off than they were before they won the lottery in most cases. So you got to put in the sickle. You got to have something that you're reaping the harvest with in the realm of the natural. Hallelujah. So your heart is your life's ultimate authority. Let me tell you this. When your heart is established in the Word and rooted and grounded in love, there is no set of bad circumstances that can move it. And at that point, you move all circumstances. When your heart is fully rooted and grounded in the Word and rooted and grounded in love, there is nothing that can move your heart. So if your heart can be moved, if fear can rattle you, get a root in your heart, then you may not be ready to see that harvest. But I'm telling you, focus on your heart before you focus on the harvest. Focus on your heart before you focus on the harvest that you're believing God for. Because your heart full of the Word cannot be stopped. It will produce. Your heart is the most fertile ground that there is anywhere. When you get this Word of God on the inside, the Word of God is made to produce 30 and 60 and 100 fold all by itself. It doesn't need a sprinkle of fairy dust to start getting to 30, 60, and 100 fold. Your heart will produce it all by itself. But prepare the ground of your heart. Hallelujah. When your heart is rooted and grounded in love, there's no set of bad circumstances that can move it. But rather, it will then at that point move the circumstances. Hallelujah. Jesus here in Mark 4 is giving you and me power and authority to enact and employ His Word in our lives. He's given you power and authority to enact and employ His Word in your life so that nothing that takes place is beyond your realm and beyond your faith to deal with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Fear can't stay where agape love is. When you get your heart rooted and grounded in love, fear cannot stay there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, perfect love casts out fear. So let me explain this to you right now, that your heart is a sowing field. It is ground. When you get the love of God in your heart, you know what? Perfect love is perfect. God's agape love is perfect. God will never love you and leave you. He will never love you for what He can get, and then if you fail to do something, then He's gone. No, God's love never fails. He's always there. His love for you is perfect. And as you get the love of God in your heart, if there's an area of your heart that you're struggling to believe God in, it is because the love of God is not perfectly established in that area of your heart. So now let me tell you that fear cannot combat the love of God. It can't. When you get the love of God and the Word poured into your heart, then fear naturally leaves. The two cannot coexist. It's impossible. You see, and when you get the love and the Word of God in your heart in an area like healing, then you will see a harvest. It's impossible for you not to see a harvest, but you've got to deal with your heart and get the love of God embedded into that, because there is nothing that you are facing, there is nothing that you are dealing with, there's no fear, there's no lie from hell that you're dealing with that Jesus didn't already deal with on the cross. And you don't say, well, I don't know why the healing hasn't worked or the finances haven't worked for me. I don't understand it. Jesus has an answer for you. He didn't just give you a promise and a direction and then leave you on your own to fulfill it. I'm telling you, some of us need to hear that right now. He didn't just give you a promise and a direction and then leave you on your own to fulfill it, but He has given you all ability to fulfill what He has called you to do. And there is nothing lacking in His love. And when you get the love of God in your heart, perfect love casts out fear. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that will cast out fear. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 4, 32, I like how Jesus said this, that the seed of the mustard seed becomes greater. It's going to become greater than the things coming against your life. Hallelujah. Let me read a few more things to you and we'll be finished up here. Thank you, Jesus. Focus on changing your heart more than changing your circumstances. Once you do, the anointing will change your circumstances. The devil wants you to get more focused. The devil wants to get you focused on your circumstances. If he can get you focused on your circumstances, and if you begin to apply all of your prayer and focus on and attention on the circumstances, I want you to think about Peter walking on the water. Jesus' love for Peter was so perfect that Peter didn't have to focus on the wind and the waves to try to beat the wind and the waves. But as he kept his eyes on Jesus, look what happened. Love naturally filled his heart. Love naturally filled his heart, and he walked on the water. But the moment he put his eyes on the wind and the waves, he began to let fear in. So the decision here was not the wind and the waves or the storm. That did not have authority over Peter. What had authority over Peter was whether he had fear in his heart or whether he had the love of God in his heart. Because Jesus had totally dealt with having an angel there under every single step that Peter took on the water to make sure that he didn't sink. Because his love is perfect. There wasn't anything about that that Jesus left untaken care of, because his love is perfect. But as soon as he let fear in, then he began to sink. So let me tell you right now, just because you have certain circumstances in your life does not mean that you have to let fear in your heart. Oh, that is so good. Just because you have adverse circumstances in your life does not mean that you have to let fear in your heart. That's where Peter missed it. He was doing good, but at some point he let those bad circumstances dictate fear into his heart, and he began to sink. You can be walking in the middle of horrible, horrible circumstances, but you refuse to fear. You refuse to let that into your heart, and you will walk and stay walking on the water and see God's total victory for your life. Praise God. You don't have to let bad circumstances dictate that to your heart. You can have bad circumstances in your life, but you do not have to let it in your heart. And if you can guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Let me give you that verse here again. Proverbs 4:23, keep and guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. If you can do that, then you're going to see God's harvest come to pass in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your life is your ultimate, your heart is your ultimate authority in your life. You can see everything that God has for you come to pass. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? We're just about out of time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody in this place tonight, I just want to ask one last thing. If there's anybody in this place tonight that doesn't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then I want to pray with you. Let me ask you right now, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Is there anything between you and Jesus? Is there any offense, any person, any individual that is more important to you than Jesus right now? You may be in this place and you say, David, I know that I'm going to heaven, but I also know my heart isn't right with God. Then I want to pray with you too. There are two categories of people here. You may know that you're going to heaven, but you know your heart is not right with God. Or you may be in this place and you know that if you were to die right now, you would not go straight to heaven. I want to pray with you. The Lord is reaching out to your heart. He's reaching out to your life right now. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to pray with you right now. If there's anybody in this place, just raise your hand in the air so I can pray with you and pray for you. If that's you, if you don't know for sure you would make heaven, just shoot your hand up in the air right now. Thank you, Jesus. We'll wait for you. Thank you, Lord. If you don't have your eternal salvation, if you don't know, have peace with God, I want to pray with you and for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We may be all saved on our way to heaven tonight. We always want to make sure. If there's any doubt in your heart, just raise your hand right now. We want to pray with you and pray for you. If you know your heart's not right with the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you for this service tonight. I thank you, Lord, for healing people. I thank you, Lord, for touching people. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We give you praise tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming tonight. Soul winning tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. Come out and be with us. It's going to be awesome. Sunday morning at 10. We look forward to seeing you come out. See Pastor Bob Nichols here again. Thank you so much for coming tonight. You go and be blessed. You are dismissed.
Side, so heaven is real and death is alive.